Well, first I'd like to echo the other speaking brothers concerning the importance and the strategicness and the weightiness of this training. I realize it is not a small thing that after finishing all the life studies and the crystallization studies of the whole Bible in 48 years, and now the Lord led the brothers to present to all the saints in the recovery these 12, you may call it crystals. They are just crystal of all crystals. Concerning the central burden and the present truths of the Lord's recovery. This is represented by our dear brother Lee's, you may say he's the cream of his ministry in his last 3.5 years, from 94 to June of 1997. What a privilege that we can be here in this training. I feel I'm very blessed. Like Minoru said, he was a blessed man. I am a very blessed man. We all are so blessed to be able to hear these things, to see these things, and to speak these things. I don't believe in the last 2,000 years of church history, there was another group of people like us, still seeking the Lord concerning what is on His heart. Of course, I don't claim to know all the history, but just in a brief survey, even in the apostles' time, when this revelation was released, it was just among a very small number of believers in a small area. But today, the Lord's recovery has been propagated, spread to all 6 continents of the earth, and involving all peoples, tongues, and nations, all colors and races. This testimony, this ministry has reached to such an extent all over this earth. And in this week, through these 12 messages, 12 crystals, they should be like 12 shining floodlights, shining over the path before us until the Lord's appearing. I don't believe there are any other teachings or doctrines that we need to be worrying about. The Lord's recovery is not something just happened yesterday. Of course, since Martin Luther, he took a major step in the Lord's recovery. And since then, from the time that the Lord raised up Brother Watchman Nee in China, just a little over 100 years ago, we are very much related to that. The Lord has been climbing this mountain of the Lord's recovery and has brought us to this highest peak. And here we are landed with these 12 huge crystals, basically crystallizing the Lord's current burden, central burden, the present truths that we need to keep, that we need to practice, that we need to live by for the rest of our days. There's nothing else. It's not that we don't know those other basic fundamental truths. But today we are not living in the 16th century. We're living in the 21st century and very close to the Lord's soon appearing. Within our heart, we can say there's really nothing else to live for. There's nothing else to do but to remain in these, in what the Lord has presented to us, crystallized in these 12 messages. I don't think it would be too much to say these 12 messages can be easily unpacked to become 120 messages. Easily. Or maybe more. It will take our lifetime to get into these messages. I realize this week, as you are listening to these messages, you are scratching your head. What are these brothers talking about? I don't understand. Divine, mystical, is really mysterious. And also, even tonight, I'll be presenting to you the blending, the reality of the body of Christ, another very mysterious subject. But don't worry about whether you understand it now or you don't. Keep these things in your heart. Listen to these words. Even this afternoon, as Minoru was reading the outline, many points, I was just at awe. I admitted I could not even readily perceive, understood all the things that were written there. But it's there in the book. It's there in the ministry. And it's there now being repeated, being spoken, and being understood and received. And we are all in this struggle, endeavoring to live, to receive not just the knowledge of these things, but to have the reality of these things. It would take a little time. That's okay. And I feel especially very encouraged, even here, seeing so many younger ones participating in a training like this. As we know, in this last recent number of years, many senior brothers, mature ones, have gone to be with the Lord. And they have been very much constituted, faithfully with these things. But now, one by one, they have been taken to be with the Lord. And many younger ones, I thank the Lord very much. So many of you, not only the trainees, but many young adults throughout the churches are rising up, are still here, continuing in the Lord's recovery. This is not a small thing to me. So on the one hand, I feel this training, it is for sure, it's not just a review of some of the past messages. I feel we are, number one, we are here affirming these crystallized speakings of the Lord to define the present truth, the central burden of the Lord's recovery today until His return. By our speaking, by our hearing, we are affirming this is the Lord's present truth. This is His up-to-date speaking, His central burden for us to live our days until the Lord's return. And I would even say, secondly, I feel this training may be even a kind of a passing on of a baton to the younger generation. Here in one training, in 12 messages, here we are. Many younger brothers and sisters, take this and run with this. Whether some of the older ones can meet the Lord alive or not, we don't know. But we should believe many of the younger ones, you will. And you have something now. You know what your responsibility is. It's all here, contained in these 12 messages. Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy that you're here? I've been in Lord's recovery for 57 years since I was baptized. I have not regretted one day of being here. Every day, I am so thankful the Lord has kept me, has reserved me. If I have another life, I'd like to give it to the Lord. The Lord's recovery is worth, everything, every day of our living on this earth. There's nothing else on this earth worth living for. We have to do our duties. We have to take care of our regular human life. But at the same time, we know there's another realm. There's a divine and mystical realm. As we are taking our course in our physical realm, we are also enjoying the divine and mystical realm. This is how we are going to live our days. Now tonight, we come to message 4, touching the matter of blending and the reality of the body of Christ. Apparently, these two matters, these two subjects, blending and the reality of the body of Christ, are two separate matters, unrelated. Apparently so. But actually, saints, the blending is altogether for the reality of the body of Christ. And the reality of the body of Christ is the issue of such a blending. This word blending has been used quite much among us in these recent years. We used it quite frequently, commonly. We nearly call everything a blending. Let's have some boba blending. Let's go to picnic blending, right? Everything we do blending. I'm very concerned that we have not gotten into the intrinsic meaning of what blending is according to Brother Lee's definition and according to what was revealed in the Word. Our usage of blending, sorry to say, is very much not much different from the secular usage. Right? In the world, people also promote blending very much, okay? Blending different country to have you study abroad, to get some different cultures, to get some blending. But that is far from what was revealed in the Word concerning blending, especially in Leviticus concerning the meal offering. And Brother Lee, in his ministry's life, he used the word blending here and there, actually, in many places, even in early years. He touched on the matter of blending, but in a more general way, in relation to we need more fellowship and blending together. But it's not until 1991, 92, when he came to the matter of the God-ordained way, the practice of the vital group, that he came to the matter of blending in a more specific way. To carry out the vital group, to work out God's eternal economy, we need blending for the vitality. The blending vitalizes us. We were all scattered in our own realm and sphere. And we struggle. We try to do this and we try to do that. And Brother Lee realized, as long as we are scattered, individualized, separated, we will never be vitalized. We will not be able to be so useful to the Lord. So in the vital group fellowship in those couple of years, He stressed the matter of blending very much. And the blending was related to our need of vitality. Then in 1993, in May, he did something unprecedented. He asked the churches in Southern California to come together in a hotel here in Anaheim, I believe it was Hilton. He asked the churches, the saints, to move into the Hilton, and we'll have a weekend of blending conference. If I remember right, that was our first usage of such a term, blending conference. And in that weekend, there were seven meetings. Brother Lee spoke, but not just by himself. He spoke along with 47 other brothers. There are a number of us who were there sharing with him. He took the lead to share, to open up, I think, four of the messages, and then the other brothers followed. 47 brothers. It was an unprecedented event that he did. He never did it again. But that was quite an eye-opener. That was like the birth of the blending conference, our blending practice. In the past, we had training conferences, but never blending conference. And then a year later, in 1994, in May, that's when he released this conference titled The Practical Points Concerning Blending. I was so happy when I saw the title, The Practical Points Concerning Blending. We're going to learn some practical points how to blend. But I think many of us who were attending the conference, after we heard those messages, we got more confused. We got more confused about what blending was. I'm sure every one of us, we were a little bit disappointed on the side of, there's nothing practical about this. Whatever brotherly touch concerning the need, the significance, the purpose, and blending, it was way over our head. But to Brother Lee, it was practical. To Brother Lee, it was practical. You know, to you and me, to you and I, our definition of practical is step one, step two, step three, step four. But with Brother Lee, it's not. He surely realized this blending has to be practiced. But in order to practice, you must see the need, the significance, the purpose, and so forth. If you don't see the blending in that way, in the deepest, in the most thorough way, if you try to just practice in an outward way, it will just be something social, something superficial. But in that conference, Brother Lee really deep dive into this matter of what blending is according to the Word. So maybe it is not practical according to you or me, but it was a new unveiling concerning the matter of blending, and is practicable. It can be practiced if you are open, if you are willing and open to have your being, your concepts removed. Then you can enter into the practical points of what the blending is about, not according to your natural concept. So this is a little bit of the background concerning the matter of blending. I really hope that after a little message tonight, I don't dare to say that we will have a full understanding of blending now. We will still do many of our kind of blending in our according to our concept, but I hope some seed will have been sown into you to realize blending is much more than just getting together, get to know see some new faces, to blend with different people. It's more than that. I won't say that that is not blend, has nothing to do with blending at all, but that has not touched, that doesn't touch the depth of blending. Then what is it? Okay, let's take a look at the outline. The first Roman numeral says God has blended the body together. This is 1 Corinthians 12:24. When we use the word blending, we like to, observation, is really mostly in the realm of socializing. It's just getting together with new faces. But when Paul used the word blending in 1 Corinthians 12, he is talking about the blending of the body. And you have to read verse 24 in the context of 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, what did Paul talk about? Well, he talked about in the body, there are many members. Some members are stronger, more comely, and some members are weaker, less comely. Some members are in a higher position, seemingly more important, and some, like the feet, are in a lower position, seemingly less important. But then, as Paul says, the eye cannot say, I don't need the feet, right? Or the ear cannot say, I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. They cannot say, I'm just because I'm not like you, I don't belong to the body. Or some of ones who are members who are the feet, they are the ones in the lowest place. Oh, I'm not as nice, as good, as high as the ones as the eyes. I don't belong to the body. So Paul said, no. Even the members who are less comely, uncomely, they need more comeliness. They need to be covered with more comeliness. Then in verse 24, verse 23, and those members of the body which we consider to be less honorable, these we clothe with more abundant honor, and our uncomely members come to have more abundant comeliness. But our comely members have no need, but God has blended the body together, giving more abundant honor to the member that lacked, and verse 25, that there would be no division in the body. In other words, this matter of blending is in relation to how we care for one another in the body. And the result is that there should be no division in the body. Blending keeps us from having any division. In the blending, there is the balance, there is the love, there is the adjustment, there is the harmony, there is the care that will save us from any kind of despising, any kind of uplifting. The blending saves us from any division. Blending is not just to get together and have a good time. Blending is in the light of the body. Although have so many different members, different capacity and position, but there is no ground for division. We need blending. He says, blending is not only high and deep, but also very mysterious. Our kind of blending is very shallow. You can see right through. A blending, get together with some, go to Starbucks to have a blending, you know, have some cup of coffee. But the blending is something high and deep and even mysterious. Why is it mysterious? Because you look at your body, you look at a human body. In our human bodies, we have so many parts, so many members, different functions, different degrees of importance. Well, the body adjusts itself When your little toe got stepped on, it hurts. The whole body goes to it to cherish it, to tenderly care for it. Not by any kind of arrangement, but something in the body mysteriously causes a kind of balance, causing a kind of care. So the blending is something high and deep and mysterious, brothers and sisters. B says the word blended means adjusted, harmonized, tempered, and mingled, implying the losing of distinction. I really love these definitions. Adjusted, it's just like carpenters building furniture. Some pieces of wood are too long, that needs to be adjusted in order to make something just right, something proper. And harmonize is like music. When you have an orchestra, if each player play their own notes, it would be so ugly. Well, when everyone is willing to be harmonized, the music will be so beautiful. And tempered is a word used in the blacksmith in tempering the iron to make steel, strong steel, to strengthen the steel. They put the iron in the hot in the fire in the furnace, and then they put it into cold water to quench it, and by this way, heat and cold to strengthen the steel. That's tempering. Blending is a kind of tempering. Then also blending is a mingling. Mingling can be likened to the hybrid fruits, right? You have an enrichment of the species, which you bring different blends together, to mix it together, blend them together, to enrich the product. So blending is rich. It's enriching. It's strengthening. Is so sweet, and it so makes everything so proper. This is the word blended. If we don't have blending, we would be odd. We will not be that sweet, and we will not be that strong. She says blending means that we should always stop in order to have fellowship with others. Are we willing to stop? Can we stop? Sometimes when we are, you know, in the church life or in the work, when we are burdened to do something, oh, this is something very needful, something very important. I want to do this. I can do this. But you are not willing to fellowship. And when you do fellowship, you are telling. In other words, your fellowship is to just tell others what you are doing. Instead of opening your being, brothers, how do you feel? Should I do this, or should I not do this? To fellowship is to open yourselves to others, not to merely tell others what you are doing. In our blending, we must be willing to stop and seek fellowship with others. Otherwise, we just do things according to our own desire, or just according to the outward needs and importance of the things that we like to do. No covering, no balance. So there will be no blessing. This matter of blending demands that we would be willing to stop and open ourselves to fellowship with other members. Then D says, we should not do anything without fellowshipping with the other saints who are coordinating with us, because fellowship adjusts us, harmonizes us, tempers us, and mingles us. I really love the hymn we sang earlier tonight, the 847. I long for fellowship in spirit. Blending and fellowship are related. We cannot have genuine blending without fellowship. But in order to have genuine fellowship, we have to come out of ourselves, come out of our seclusion, come out of our peculiarity. Some of the words Brotherly used in that hymn is very touching. We are so isolated. We are so secluded. We justify ourselves by the things that we do, but not realizing that we are like a castle with a strong, thick wall protecting ourselves, not letting anyone to touch us. That's no fellowship, and that's not blending. So the next point says, to be blended means that we are touched by others and that we are touching others. This does not mean you physically touch others or be touched by others. It's talking about that we can have genuine and transparent fellowship. If you see I have some shortages in what I just said, in what I just spoke to you, well, you would be able in the Lord's love to touch me, to show me, Brother James, what you just said was too much. Well, you are not there trying to outwardly rebuking or adjusting by your natural self, but by in the spirit, by the Lord's love, you can touch others, and you are willing to be touched by others. In the genuine blending, there is that openness and the willingness to be touched and the willingness to touch others. Otherwise, in our so-called present kind of blending, very political. We just like to speak nice words to each other, patting each other on the back. Everything will be okay. You are doing well. But there is not the genuine, transparent fellowship. The blending allows us to touch others by others, that we can touch others by four things. Number one, going through the cross. Number two, doing things by the Spirit. And number three, doing everything to dispense Christ. And number four, for his body's sake. You may say these are like the litmus tests of what a genuine blending is. In every genuine blending, there should be the passing through of the cross. In your getting together over a boba, go to the beach to blend, go to the mountain to blend, is there any sense of being crossed out, passing through the cross? Is there any exercise of the Spirit? Is there any ministry of life? Any building up of the body? All these four aspects are taken from Leviticus 2, from the making of the meal offering, where there's the fine flour and the oil with the frankincense and the salt. These are the elements that defines these items mentioned by Brother Lee. The cross, signified by the salt, and the Spirit by the oil, and Christ by the frankincense. He is the resurrected Christ. His body is this loaf, is this fine flour mingled with oil. So in that type of the meal offering, we see what the genuine blending is. There has to be these elements of the cross, of the Spirit, of Christ, and also of the building of the body. F says, blending is not social, but the blending of the Christ whom the individual members, the district churches, the co-workers, and the elders experience, enjoy, and partake of. In the references here, in the reference there, in Romans chapter 16, the whole chapter is a greeting, is a recommendation and greeting by Paul to, I don't know how many individuals. is so sweet. In that chapter, the apostle sent greeting to this one, to that one, in that place, this place. That is more than just a show of concern. That is an expression of the fellowship that takes place in the body, in the body of Christ. How wonderful it is, brothers and sisters. And we come together, not just, oh, how are you? But really concerned. Well, how is the church in Hong Kong? How is the church in Shanghai? How is the church in Jerusalem? How are the saints there doing? Not just about your own welfare, not just about your own success, but here even in that chapter of greeting and recommendation, there was full of the feeling. There was a fellowship, which is a blending. Then Jesus, in order to keep the unique oneness of the universal body of Christ, we need to be blended together. Saints, for us, for the body to be kept in oneness, we need the blending. Blending is needed for the building up of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul surely was full of this burden when he wrote the epistle to the Colossians. At the end, he charged them that you would let the Laodiceans to read this epistle, and you will also read the epistle I wrote to Laodicea. There's nothing secret. The apostle tried to blend the church in Colossae with the church in Laodicea together. Saints, we should have more blending. I'm concerned even now we have thousands and thousands of churches all over the earth. We don't blend enough. Even here in Southern California, we have more than 50 churches. But many churches, we just exist, go on by ourselves. We don't have much concern, much sensitivity, consciousness of one another. Some may be nearby, maybe only 10 minutes away. We don't have much care, concern how that church is doing, as long as my church is doing okay. Or the ones involved in the work, some co-workers, as long as my area of the work is doing fine. I don't care what the other works are doing. That's why when Brother Lee came to this matter in 1994, practical points on blending, his heart was heavy. He said, we don't know how much we need blending. Even then, now we are already nearly 30 years since that time. I don't know how much advancement of blending we have advanced. We have many more churches. We have many more so-called blending conferences, blending meetings. But yet, unless we touch the matter of blending to this depth, we are still isolated. We are for our own work. We are for our own church. We are for our own Christian life. As long as I'm doing okay, as long as my church is doing fine, saints, we are all together as one loaf, as one bread, as one body, as one new man. We need much blending to be brought into this kind of consciousness, this kind of sensitivity. We are not here as separate individuals, separate churches, separate regions. Thank the Lord, in these past couple of decades, the Lord has wiped out, taken away all the boundaries, all the barriers. Now all the regions and all the areas are now learning to be blended together, to have more consciousness of one another. There's no need to be afraid. I'm trespassing your area. I'm trespassing your church. Sorry to say, even in the recent years, some co-workers who left us now, he still tried to emphasize, don't trespass my area. Don't trespass my church. Where is blending? Where is the cross? Where is the spirit? Where is the building of the body? So when Brother Lee released that word in 1994, his heart was heavy. We need much blending. We need much, much blending. Now, let me go on to Romans 2. In John 12, 24 and 1 Corinthians 10, 17a, portray and reveal the necessity and the significance of blending. A, John 12, 24 speaks of a grain of wheat that fell into the ground and died and bore many grains. Grain of wheat refers to Christ as the divine seed to produce many grains. The people who receive him to become his many members who constitute his organic body. Christ as the grain of wheat died and brought forth many grains in resurrection. The grains are to be ground and blended into flour to make a loaf, which signifies the body of Christ. We should not remain as whole grains. We have to be broken and ground into fine flour so that we can be blended with others for making a loaf. This loaf is the body of Christ. So John 12, 24 tells us clearly, Christ was that unique grain that fell into the earth and then produced many grains. We are the many grains, just like that original grain. But grains remain by itself means no good, right? The grains are for the purpose of making a loaf that is nourishing to people. But in order to be a loaf, the grains have to be produced and then to be ground and blended together to become a loaf. Christ, through his death, that unique grain was buried and produced many grains. And by his resurrection, he put all these grains together, blending them together. By his resurrection life, he produced one loaf, one bread. That is the church. So if we remain in our individual identities as individual grains, there will not be the loaf. There will not be the church. God's desire is not just to have grains. God's desire is to have a bread, to have a loaf, to have a meal offering. B says, Paul's thought of the church being blended into one bread, one body. This is in 1 Corinthians 10, 17a, where Paul says, seeing that there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. It was taken from the type of the meal offering in Leviticus 2, 1 to 16. Point 1, every part of the fine flour of the meal offering was mingled with oil. This is the mingling. This is the blending. The flour mingled with the oil. This is the blending. In our coming together for boba, for coffee, where is the spirit? Is there the spirit? Where is the oil? The fine flour needs to be mingled with oil. That is the blending. Number 2 says, Christ's life and our individual Christian life issue in a totality. The church life as a corporate meal offering composed of believers who have been broken, ground, and blended. This is the significance of blending. We need blending. And the blending is for Christ's life and our individual Christian life to issue in a totality. The church life as a corporate meal offering. The meal offering spoken of in Leviticus 2 signifies, firstly, the individual Christ. Christ is our meal offering to supply us for our nourishment. But also it signifies corporately, the enlarged Christ, the corporate Christ, the church life. Oh, when there's the blending, brothers and sisters, the church life will be so nourishing to people. The church life is a corporate meal offering for God's people to enjoy, to be nourished. But in order to have such a church life, the believers need to be broken, grounded, and blended. Okay, Roman numeral 3 now. The purpose of the blending is to usher us all into the reality of the body of Christ. This is the purpose of the blending. The purpose of the blending is not just merely to meet some new people, learn of some new area, new localities, what is happening here and there. The purpose of the blending is to usher us into the reality of the body of Christ. Now here you may ask, what is the reality of the body of Christ? It's the church, right? Well, the body of Christ is the church. But we are not just talking about the church in that kind of physical sense. Having a lot of, number of people meeting together, having meetings, having services and functions. When we talk about the church, a local church, we mostly refer to the physical aspect of the church life where there are meetings, where there are many services. But when we talk about the body of Christ, we are referring to the very life in the church. The very life that constitutes the church. Without that life, the church will just be a shell. There's something that animates that church. That is the life of Christ. And when we say the reality of the body of Christ, we are not talking about the practicality of the body of Christ. You know, with many practical things that we carry out in the body life, we are talking about the reality, referring to that which is real. Just like as a human being, we have here's a man, a person, right? 6 feet tall, with the head and the body, and outwardly, we are very properly dressed. Here is a person, but is that the reality of the person? By what he dresses, and also by his look outside, by his appearance, that is just a shell. The body, physical body, is just a shell. The reality of this person is not what is outside, but what is inside. After a person died, when you go to a memorial meeting, and then you have a coffin, a dead body lying there. Everything was the same. Outwardly, there's a head, there's a body, and all. But that is not a body. That is not the living body anymore. That is a corpse. That is just a carcass. Today is our church a carcass with just the form outside? You have all the meetings, you have all the arrangement. Or is there the life inside that makes this person a real person? Today, in the Lord's Recovery, we have thousands and thousands of churches on the earth. Brother Lee, in those messages, he said he was praying before the Lord, just surveying the whole situation of the Lord's Recovery. There, at that time, there were over 1,300 churches on the earth. Local churches, all genuine churches, proper churches. But he asked, Lord, am I satisfied with this? They all seem to be doing fine, meeting properly, following the teachings, and they are functioning. But am I satisfied with this? Where is the reality of the body of Christ? These churches, 1,500 churches, may be all separated as 1,500, isolated, independent churches on the earth. But the Lord is not after that. The Lord is after one body, one bread. So his burden was heavy. that he was even saying, I don't see much reality of the body of Christ. He saw churches, but not, where is the reality of the body of Christ? So we need the blending. The purpose of the blending is to usher us into the reality of the body of Christ. A says, we need to be in the local churches as the procedure to be brought into the reality of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord for the local churches. I love local churches. I love to be in a local church because it is here. I can actually have meetings with the saints. I can have fellowship with the members. I can function. I can serve. It's so sweet to be in a local church. But don't forget, a local church is just a procedure. A local church, as I tell the same men at times, don't treasure your little local church that much, because maybe next year the government decides to amalgamate your church, your localities, into a bigger location, like in Taipei, for instance. Overnight, 10 cities became one big city. Suddenly, 10 local churches are gone. You love your little local church, and when you wake up in the morning, no more. Your little local church now got amalgamated to become one big locality. But the localities may change. The local arrangement may change, but the body never changes. The body is still here. Whether you meet in your little local church in the area, or now you meet in a bigger local church now due to a new arrangement, you are still living in the body. Saints, I know some, when Brother Lee released that word, the local churches are just a procedure. Some saints were very disappointed, and some even became offended. What? I mean, we saw the revelation of the local church. Brother Lee, you told us that. Then we are here standing on the local ground until Jesus comes. I love to be in the local church, to be built up with all the brothers next to me. But now you tell me the local churches are just a procedure. The goal is the body of Christ. Well, we should not take this word that to belittle or to despise the local church. I say again, we love the local churches. We thank the Lord for all the local churches. But the local churches that we love are a procedure, are a vehicle to actually to bring us to our goal, to our destination. It's just like if you want to travel from point A to point B. Well, point B is your house. Point A is the, you are here on the street. And hey, you have a car presented to you, a very nice, comfortable car. And you drive the car from point A to point B to arrive at your house. Well, this is a very nice car. You have a very comfortable car. But after you arrive at your destination, don't stay in that comfortable car and say, this is wonderful. I love to stay in this car. This car is just to transport you to your destination, to your house. The reality of the body of Christ is our goal. It doesn't mean we just give up the local churches. We'll never give up local churches. We need the local churches to help us, to train us, to prepare us to live the life in the body. Truly, if you cannot blend with the saints who are in your local church, forget about blending with all the saints in the body of Christ. I know there are some saints, I like to blend with the co-workers in Anaheim. They live in New York. But they cannot stand with one another in the brother's house who live together with him in New York. The church in New York as a locality, it's a procedure, but it's a procedure to help you to learn how to be blended locally with the ones next to you. Then if you can be blended with the ones in your locality, then you would be prepared to be blended with the saints all over the earth. Don't think that just because we say the local churches are a procedure, that we are giving up the local churches. No, not at all. Actually, it stresses the importance. We need to take care of this procedure now, but don't hold on to it forever. It is just a vehicle to bring us to our destination. Be that the highest peak of the Lord's recovery that can really, practically, and actually carry out God's economy is for God to produce not many local churches in a physical way, but an organic body to be His organism. The Lord's recovery has been like a mountain. We have been climbing this mountain from the foothill, and now we are arriving at the highest peak. We didn't get here overnight. We have been traveling, at least among us, over 100 years. Now we are arriving at this high peak. The Lord needs this high peak. When we are at the foothill, we got saved. We're brought into the local churches. We enjoy the local church life. But we were just there at the foothill. Then as we started climbing through the help of the ministry, that we see what the Lord wants. It's not just many local churches, many, many local congregation of believers coming together and enjoying a sweet church life. The Lord desires to have the reality of the body of Christ. Today, by the Lord's mercy, we are here at the high peak of His move on the earth. We know what is on His heart. What He wants is not just thousands of churches, although we need them, but the many local churches are for our reaching the goal of becoming the body of Christ in reality. C says the local churches are not the goal of God's eternal economy. They are the procedure God takes to reach the goal of His economy, the building up of the body of Christ. Number one, the churches are the procedure to bring us into the body of Christ. Number two, the churches are the body, but they may not have the reality of the body of Christ. So you see that. The church, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, the church which is His body. Yes, but is the body... Don't just say, well, if you're in the church, automatically you're in the body of Christ. Positionally speaking, yes, you are. But in reality, if you do not have the experiences of Christ and His death and His resurrection, you remain in your shell, in your seclusion. You are in the church there, but in your isolated fashion. You are not in the reality of the body. D is an important point. The Lord urgently needs the reality of the body of Christ to be expressed in the local churches unless there is a substantial expression of the reality of the body, the Lord Jesus will not return. This is a sobering thought. To realize, unless there is a substantial expression of the reality of the body, the Lord Jesus will not return. There has been many churches, even in among us, thousands of churches, local churches scattered all over the earth, genuine local churches. But the Lord Jesus still cannot return until there is a substantial expression of the reality of the body of Christ. So now we need to dig into more concerning what is this reality of the body of Christ. How to enter into the experience of such a reality. We need Roman numeral 4. The highest peak in God's economy is... The reality in God's economy is the reality of the body of Christ. God's economy has a peak, has the highest peak. God's economy involves His becoming man to make man God with many wonderful processes. But all the processes with a goal in view, that goal That destination is the reality of the body of Christ. A says, these are the three subpoints are important. Now A, the significance of our blending is the reality of the body of Christ. Now we are really seeing the the blending to the into the deepest level. I said earlier, the blending is for the reality of the body of Christ. Now we have to come to even see, actually, the blending, the very significance of our blending is the reality of the body of Christ. The reality of the body of Christ is just a matter of our blending. How we actually blend, not that kind of a socializing, but indeed having the experience of going, passing through the cross by the Spirit, dispensing Christ for the building up of the body, having that experience of the blending, that is the reality of the body of Christ. This reality is a group of God's redeemed people who have been made God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. We have been seeing this in the past few messages. The goal of God's economy is to for God to become man, that man may become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. This group of men who have been made God in life and nature, not individually, not independently, but together, corporately, such group of God-men, men-God, coming together, living together, having the church life together. This is, they present the reality of the body of Christ. Number two says, they live a life, not by themselves, but by another life. The life of the processed and consummated triune God who enters into them and takes them as his abode, his dwelling place. Are you a God man?
Yes.
You are not just merely men, saved by grace, redeemed by the blood. You are men who have been born of God. Yes. You are men who have been regenerated by God with God's life in you. Tonight we are here as a gathering, not just as the redeemed ones. We are the gathering of the God-men. We live a life not by ourselves, but by another life. God's life has come into us, the life of the processed and consummated God who enters into us and takes us as his abode. Now he lives in us. He indwells us. He is making his home in us. You know, in the last, in the practical points on blending, that book, there's a last chapter to that book concerning the reality of the body of Christ, which was given separately from that conference, which was given at Brother Lee's house with a small number of co-workers. He was still so burdened about the matter of blending for the reality of the body of Christ. And in that last message, he touched on something. He said, very simple, yet so deep, so many of us still may miss it. It's the matter of Christ indwelling us. Dear saints, we not only have God's life in us, we have Christ indwelling us, making his abode in us, building his house in us. Are we building his house with wood, grass, and stubble, with our natural life, with something earthly? As we live our Christian life, we are God-men. Now we have God's life in us. He is indwelling us, making his abode in us. We should not just use our natural zeal, our natural energy, try to do something for God. They will be disapproved. They will be tested by fire. He is making His home in us with gold, silver, precious stones. We have to allow Him to make His abode in us. Ephesians 3:16 and 17 are important. That we need God to strengthen us into our inner man through His Spirit, so that Christ may make His home in our hearts. Every day we must allow Christ to make His home in our heart. As we do that, we become the reality of the body of Christ. The reality of the body of Christ is such a group of people who allow Christ to indwell them, to make His home in them, to make His dwelling in them. Now, B says, the reality of the body of Christ is a corporate living, not individual living, independent living, but a corporate living by the perfected God-men, who are genuine men, but are not living by their life, but by the life of the process and consummated triune God, whose attributes have been expressed through their virtues. I'm sure you have seen this sentence in our conferences here and there, but I really don't know how much impression you have on this. The reality of the body of Christ is a corporate living, not in the brother's house or sister's house. It's a corporate, it's a living corporately with others, so many saints. By what? By the perfected God-man. For a long time, I also wonder what is to be perfect. Who are the perfected God-man? What is to be perfected? We all know we need to be perfected. But mainly, we understood it in the sense of to be corrected, to be adjusted, so that I can be, proper, to be perfected. But in Brother Lee's usage, the perfected God-man is very specific, that they are genuine men, but not living by their life, but by the life of the process and consummated triune God. To be perfected is not just to be error-free, flawless in your behavior, but is to have another life to be lived in you, to live in you, to be lived out through you. In Matthew 5, verse 48, the Lord Jesus says that you shall be perfect, even as my heavenly Father is perfect. God desires us to be perfect, but not to be flawless in our conduct or behavior. That is our concept of perfection. That may be even the Apostle James' concept of perfection, Christian perfection. To be proper, to be religious, to be good. But in according to Matthew 5, the context there is saying in verse 40, 44 and 45, the Lord says, you have to love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Then you'll be children of the Father in the heavens, who caused the sun to rise upon the evil and the good, and send rain to the just and the unjust. God loves. You need to be perfect. And then in verse 48, He says, therefore you shall be perfect as the heavenly Father is perfect. The perfection mentioned there is not the perfection in conduct, in our behavior, but the perfection in the Father's love, which is the Father's, which is the inner substance of God, the inner being of God. So for us to become, to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect, means that we need to have to be allowed God's being to be worked into us. We are the Father's children. We are not here as many religious disciples learning to behave ourselves. We need to be perfected by allowing the Father's life to be dispensed into us, to be lived out through us. Not only Jesus talk about perfection, the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, they all talk about the matter of being perfected. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9, Paul says, "We rejoice whenever we are weak and you are powerful. This also we pray for your perfecting." And verse 11, finally, brothers, rejoice, be perfected, be comforted, think the same thing, be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. But before these two verses, in verse 5, Paul says, don't you know if Jesus Christ is in you, you are not disapproved. Saints, is Jesus Christ in you? Since Jesus Christ is in you, we are not disapproved. We are approved by God. And it's because of Jesus Christ being in us, we can be perfected. Our perfection is by Christ living in us, not by our improving our behavior. The Apostle Peter also talked about perfection in 1 Peter 5:10, that he himself will perfect, establish, strengthen, and ground you, but he said, the God of all grace, he who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself perfect, establish, strengthen, and ground you. The perfection here is not by your work, by your effort, it's by God's work in grace. The Apostle John also talked about perfection. Here in 1 John, his epistle, chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, I just mentioned to you here, it says that in this has love been perfected with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because even as he is, so also are we in the world. Oh, when I read this, I was just so encouraged and touched by this word. Even as he is. When God came to become a man, in the person of Jesus Christ, he lived a life as a man, common, ordinary. Yet, he was the first God-man. He has God within him. Throughout his 33 and a half years of human life, he lived out God. He spoke God's word. He did God's work. He sought the Father's glory. He did the Father's will. He was the first God-man. He was a common man, just like everyone else, but within him was the very God. He did not live by his human life, though genuine, but he lived by the Father's life within him. That life, that living, not by his human life, but by the divine life within him, presents a model of the reality of this first God-man. As spoken by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, we have not so learned Christ, even as the reality was in Jesus. How Jesus as a man on earth, living not by his human life, but by the Father's life in him. He was the reality, the very reality itself. That reality today is being reproduced in us. We, even as he is, so are we in the world. So, we need to be the perfected God-man. To allow God's life to be lived out in us. To allow God's work of grace to be carried out in us. To live as Jesus did. To be his reproduction, to be his duplication. Now, subpoint one says, God's life with all its attributes was lived within the God-man Jesus and expressed as this God-man's virtues. Originally, this life was only in Jesus. Now, this life is being reproduced in believers who have been redeemed and regenerated and possess the divine life within them. Number three, perfected God-men are those who have been matured by continually exercising to reject the self and live by another life, the resurrection life of Christ. Here is the definition of perfection. This is what it means to be perfected. That means to be matured by continually exercising to reject the self and live by another life. Now, point C, the reality of the body of Christ is the mingling living in the eternal union of the regenerated, transformed, conformed, and glorified tripartite God-man with the triune God in the resurrection of Christ. When we first believe in the Lord, we have been brought into an organic union with Him. We are not just merely saved and cleansed and redeemed outwardly. God's life has entered into us. We have been brought into an organic union with Him. And that organic union took place in our spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. It's in our spirit we are joined to the Lord. We have entered into this organic union, an eternal union with our triune God. We who are the tripartite men, undergoing God's regeneration, His sanctification, His transformation, confirmation, glorification, we are organically joined to Him in our spirit. How is your spirit, brothers? Amen. We are joined with God in our spirit. Amen. Our spirit is no longer just merely human. We have the divine spirit joined with our human spirit, mingled with our human spirit. And that's where the mingling is taking place. This mingling is still going on. Number one says, this mingling is a corporate living of the conformity to the death of Christ in the power of the resurrection of Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, we're familiar with the verse. Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. Philippians is a book of the experience and enjoyment of Christ in a corporate way, in fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians shows us how to enjoy and experience Christ in a corporate way, in fellowship with one another for the furtherance of the gospel. And here, Paul desires that we need to be conformed to Christ's death by His resurrection life. We, the many grains, we need to be ground, blended, to become a loaf. Firstly, it's a dough, right? When the flour, even though the grain become the flour, and then you mix with the oil, become a dough. And then, like the sisters, you bake a cake, you put the dough in the pan, in a mold, right? Whether it's a shape of a rabbit or an apple, then you put in the dough in a mold, and then you put in the oven, and out comes this rabbit, this peach or whatever shape of dough of the mold. That mold is actually the death of Christ. All of us grains have been now blended to become a dough put into this mold of Christ's death. Here we are blended together. This week we are in this mold of Christ's death. All of you trainees, you have been in the mold of Christ's death. You are, on the one hand, you are in the training. On the other hand, you are actually in the mold of Christ's death. With all your roommates, teammates, just quite crowded together here, rubbing shoulders. But you are being molded, right? By Christ's death, not by your endeavoring, your determination, but by the resurrection life of Christ. Here, we are undergoing a mingling in a corporate way. Number two says, such a mingling living is in the resurrection of Christ, and the reality of the resurrection is the Spirit. This Spirit is where we have been brought into the union with God, and this Spirit is the reality of resurrection, and this is where we are having our mingling living. This resurrection imparts the consummated triune God and releases the death-overcoming life into the believers. Suppose there's a brother's house of seven brothers from seven different countries. There's a Chinese, there's a Japanese, there's a Korean, there's a German, there's a French, there is a British, living together in one house. I tell you, if they are, you know, if they don't have the spirit, there will be explosion every day. But these are seven God men. Every day, coming to the Lord, calling on the Lord, coming to exercise their spirit over the word, enjoying the Lord, exercising the mingling in their spirit, in that organic union with the Lord. They are being put. They are being molded by the death of Christ, in the resurrection of Christ. Even though there are so many different nationalities with their different dispositions, they are being molded, conformed to the death of Christ. Today, brothers and sisters, in the Lord's recovery involves so many nationalities, races, backgrounds, cultures. But the Lord is not just after so many churches in different places. The Lord desires to have one body, one new man, the reality of His body. That this can only be possible when we live corporately by the mingling living in the resurrection, by the resurrection life of Christ. Number three says, this corporate and mingling living by the perfected God-man consummates ultimately in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven and new earth, as God's increase and expression for eternity. Number four, let's all read together, please. Do you believe it?
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
This corporate living of the perfected God-man will bring Christ back. We'll close this age. We'll bring in the kingdom age. Okay, shall we just pray with our neighbor for half a minute? Then when we can have some Brother Bob will tell us.